He is here, listen closely, hear him calling out your name. He is here, you can touch him, you will never be the same.
Let's stand up and sing it again with us all together.
He is here, hallelujah. He is here, amen. He is here, holy, holy. I will bless his name again. He is here, listen closely. Hear him calling out your name. He is here, you can touch him, you will never be the same.
And remain standing as we sing both verses.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know they feel the presence of the
smaller crew, but hey, we're two or more gathered in his name. I will be also. We are going to have a great service. Thank you, Brother Mel, for being here as Larry and Kathy and Donna are getting some much needed vacation and rest time. Okay, right now, turn around, wave. Hey, everybody. People's being very quiet today. But anyway, glad to have you here. We're going to have a great church service. Brother Mel's going to be giving us, of course, some great words from God in just a moment. But right now, let's keep on singing. Good under the good old standard, Blessed Assurance.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation. Of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
And the second,
perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above, angels of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
And the last.
I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love.
And
this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Hope that got you.
Amen.
Amen. All right, now we are... in remembering those in service, if you since you're closer, you want to light the candle.
Sure,
we're going to light the candle again. And if you, if as Brother Lear said, if we do need to update some more, please give us more names that we to pray for, both our military and our first responders. Let's sing it all together.
God bless America. Guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
All right, and you may be seated. Brother Mel, we didn't do as much song service, I guess, with the Kids with the King, so you got really, really, really ample time to just take it away, and we'll give you about an hour, because usually about 15 after 12 is when we're done.
You need to be careful with that. It is good to see each one of you today. Thank you for being here. It is my privilege to look out and see all of your smiling faces and to be with you. Those of you who are able to be here in worship in person, and those of you who are at home streaming online, we want to say thank you for being part of the service today and for lifting your hearts to the Lord. I'm going to ask that you be prepared to join me in the 40th Psalm in just a few moments. We're going to take a look into God's Word, but I'd like to set the stage a little bit this morning before we begin in talking about what we are experiencing as a nation, what we have been experiencing in recent months. Now, I'm sure that Brother Larry, your pastor, has done an excellent, excellent job of keeping us focused through this pandemic into God's Word to let us know that this did not take the Lord by surprise. It may have taken us by surprise, but it did not take God by surprise. And so our effort here this morning is to turn our attention to the Word of the Lord, because God's got something very important to say to us. One of the great privileges that I have of serving as your lead mission strategist director of missions, associational missionary, whatever you want to call me. One of the great privileges that I have is going around from church to church and being able to celebrate and worship with my extended Christian family. And it's an honor for me to be here today worshiping with my extended Christian family. This past Wednesday night, I was privileged to lead a Bible study and a prayer meeting at Unity Baptist Church. And last Sunday, I was privileged to preach at Wadsworth Baptist Church. And today, it is a blessing, an extra special blessing, for me to be with you here at Liberty Baptist Church while your pastor and his family are away for some much-needed respite. It's been a difficult time these past few months. We all know that. This has also been compounded by the fact that this is an election year, and I've come to the place in my life where I really don't care for election years too much because of all of the rhetoric that is tossed back and forth, all of the mudslinging and all of those things that take place. It seems as though we live in a time when our nation is perhaps more divided than it has ever been before. And I want to share with you that God's Word is there to keep us as Christians together. And if we allow the world to influence us to any great extent, you can see even that divisiveness kind of creep its way into the church. And we dare not let that take place. And so today, I'm going to talk with you about meeting every believer's needs, because we have a lot of needs that need to be met today. We have a lot of needs not only in our church, but also in our personal spiritual walk. One of the blessings that has kind of manifested itself for Mel, okay, me personally, at least early on in the early days of social distancing and when our businesses were closed and our churches and we were asked to stay home, and of course the churches kind of led the way in terms of a Romans 13 respect for our government authorities. We led the way in trying to be able to be good stewards and good example setters for that. But one of the great blessings that I experienced was just the quiet. I realized early on that when I would get up and read in the morning and on Sunday, I would miss going to church, but there was an opportunity for me to get very quiet and alone with God. And it was a privilege for me to just sit and listen. And that passage of Scripture that is a favorite passage for so many folks, "Be still and know that I am God," began to echo itself over and over in my mind. And I realized at that point that my life had become so consumed with the day-to-day activities that I probably didn't spend enough quiet time with God. And so that was one of the blessings, because it allowed me not to focus on my calendar, my Outlook calendar, which stays full, and then all of a sudden everything on it had canceled. I didn't focus on that. It allowed me the opportunity to reestablish some priorities as a Christian. And so for that, I was thankful, because I was able to see clearly some things that I needed to see. And today is no exception. As we walk with the Lord, we're going to walk along in lockstep with Brother David. He is the author of this psalm. And Brother David had an interesting life. King David of the Old Testament, he had a very interesting life. And we're going to hear from his heart today about how he dealt with uncertain times. The 40th Psalm is no doubt a psalm of David. That fact, of course, is not debated. However, when the psalm was composed is quite another matter. You see, most scholars, most people would attribute this psalm to one of two categories, both of which agree that this psalm was born out of a heart of David during his outlaw years. Some feel that this psalm was penned during David's outlaw years when he was running from Saul. I'm not saying that he was out of God's favor. I'm saying that it was an outlaw year in reference by scholars in the fact that there were times in his life, two major times, that he literally was on the run for his life. Those are known as his outlaw years. The first one is when he was on the run from King Saul. Many of you will probably remember the age-old Bible story when in 1 Samuel 15, David became the target of King Saul's hate. And if you'll remember, Saul had been commanded to wipe out Israel's ancestral army, and he had been commanded to kill everything, foe, men, women, children, animals, everything, the ancestral foe of Amalek. But instead, Saul spared Amalek's king Agag. As a matter of fact, he not only spared the king, but he also spared the best that the land had to offer. He spared them, and he had his own excuses, even though that the prophet Samuel had given him very careful instruction that these people hated everything that that had anything to do with God. And it was the children of Israel's ancestral foe. But yet King Saul disobeyed. Unfortunately for King Saul, the prophet Samuel showed up at a very inopportune time. You may recall when the prophet Samuel showed up, King Saul was not expecting that. And King Saul had spared the best of the land, all the cattle and the sheep and the king as well. King Saul had spared them, and then all of a sudden Samuel happens to travel and shows up on the scene. Sometimes it reminded me when I would glance over this psalm just a few weeks ago when the Lord kind of opened up some things and I just kind of penciled them down that I want to share with you today. It reminded me that sometimes the pastor is the last person you want to see. I recall early on in my ministry when I was a bivocational pastor that I made a church visit one time and I was knocking on the front door and an older gentleman, a leader in the church, opened the door, and of course in the rural areas, as hospitality would give it, he would invite me in, and I would walk in, and I sat down there, and I sat in the living room, and we were just visiting casually back and forth. And I noticed that the lady of the household was not present. She was in the back of the house in their bathroom, in their bedroom area, and she had taken a shower. Now, she got out of the shower, and she put on a towel, and she had her head wrapped in a towel, and she had a towel around her, and all of a sudden, she came around the corner out into the living room as we were sitting there visiting, and she didn't even realize it until she was about halfway across to the kitchen, and then she knew that the pastor was there. Needless to say, she made a hasty retreat. Sometimes the pastor is the last person you want to see. Well, in this case, Saul was not expecting Samuel, and Saul did not want to see Samuel. Let me refer back. You don't have to turn there, but I'm just going to refer back to 1 Samuel chapter 15, and I'm going to remind us what the Bible said in verse 9 when it said, "But Saul and the people spared Agag, the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings of the lamb, all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, they were utterly destroyed." And then we skip down to verse 22 of that same chapter, and the Bible says, after Samuel showed up on the scene, he says, "What on earth is going on? What is that lowing that I hear in the background?" And so Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." Amen. You see, Saul had been commanded to destroy everything. But it was in Saul's mind that said, "Well, what, that would be such a waste. We don't need to do that. Let's save just the best of the best. We've conquered our foe. We've won the battle. God has clearly been with us. But let's save the best of the best." Because absolutely, that would be such a waste. That would be such a waste to do with that. Do away with that. And the Bible says that Samuel went on to say, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." Later on, you can read in this book how because of Saul's hard-heartedness, God stripped him of his ability to continue as king. And as you know, it was at this point that the ancestral line was stripped from King Saul so that his heir would not sit on the throne. As a matter of fact, God chose David rather than Saul's son, Jonathan. The prophet Samuel had confronted Saul, and so began a period of jealousy and hatred that would build in the heart of King Saul, knowing that the heir of the throne, his heir to the throne, would not succeed him. There was a period in David's life when he fled the scene in a desperate attempt to save himself. At several junctures, King Saul tried to kill this would-be king, King David. We know that God was with him every time and in every circumstance. Many scholars, think that this outlaw psalm was written and penned during that very difficult time in David's life. But there are others that would attribute the penning, the authorship of this psalm, to another time in David's life when he was on the run. And that's when David was on the run from his own son Absalom. Because of David's sin with Bathsheba, David paid a very high price. A study of David's life would lead us to understand that David, King David, the man after God's own heart, had a very dysfunctional family. Sin entered into his life, and once again, David found himself on the run when his own son tried to take advantage and tried to succeed him on the throne even before David's death. Once again, David found himself running for his life. I want to borrow from this psalm, and I want to use it today not as a textual study, but as a guide to let us, our hearts be directed to a man that made some pretty big mistakes before the Lord. And yet this man, this individual, even in his imperfection, became known in Scripture as a man after God's own heart. How would you like to be known as a man or a woman after God's own heart? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, this psalm is going to help pave the way so that we can understand what it takes for a Christian to be a person after God's own heart, even in the midst of struggle, even in the midst of strife, even when things are going awry, even when things are the worst they've ever been, more so than we have ever experienced in our Christian walk. Even then, God is on the throne. And even then, we know that He will be with us. What does this psalm teach us? Well, first of all, it teaches us the most important element of any Christian's life, and that is how to pray. R.A. Torrey said these words. He said, "Prayer is the quintessential ingredient in any and every Christian's life." Folks, it's important that we spend time in prayer. And so I'd like, before we begin to unpack this text, I'd like for us to focus our hearts on the Lord right now. Would you close your eyes? Would you bow your heads? And let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Let's ask Him to reveal to us the truth that He has for us today. Let's pray together. Father, in the wake of our struggles and our experiences in life, dear God, we come to this moment of worship, and we want to say thank You. Thank You, God, for the fact that we can unite in Christ. Thank You that whether we are here in person or whether we are watching via live streaming, that dear God, Your Holy Spirit and Your presence can be very real to us in a time of uncertainty and struggle. Father, I pray that as a result of our time together today, You will help us to understand the truth that You have in store for us. Not just for our benefit, dear Lord, and we thank You for Your presence and Your strength and Your promise of strength and dear Lord, stamina to endure an uncertain time. But Father, our prayer is so that Jesus Christ can receive the glory. Father, I pray that through our time in Your Word, that dear Lord, You will show us the meaning of our Christian walk and help us, Father, as we walk through a very uncertain time, to know that we walk in light of Your Spirit and His direction. We pray that the Holy Spirit will just clear our minds of all distraction. Lord, everything that's taking place in a week that's been so busy. And Father, I pray that you'll take the concerns away from our lives and that, dear Lord, you will just help us to focus and help us to see clearly all that we stand in need of today. And Father, when all is said and done, we pray that Jesus Christ will receive the glory, that our lives will be enriched to an extent that other people will see the love of Christ in everything that we do and in everything that we say. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer today. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin. Thank you for the fact that we can live our lives in the experience and blessing of grace. But most importantly and above all, we thank you for Jesus our Savior, because, Father, it is in His name that we live, it is in His name that we worship, and, Father, it is in His name that we pray. To God be the glory. And all of God's children say, Amen. As we look at this psalm, I want to just highlight a few little things about seven things that I want us to focus on today. Help us to see what God has in store for us through the preaching of God's Word. One of the first things that I note from this passage of Scripture is that we need to pray, and as we pray, we need to pray for God's anointing. Pray for God's anointing. Note what the Bible says in verses 1 and 2. Pray for God's anointing. The Bible says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. Now, I want you to know that David understood that it wasn't in his own strength that he was able to endure one of the most difficult times he had ever experienced. It was the strength that God had placed upon him, placed in him, to endure that by the presence of the Spirit. We know that in the Old Testament, God's Holy Spirit would inhabit certain people for certain times and for certain tasks. And we know that when Jesus Christ gave His life on Calvary's cross, when that tomb was opened and Jesus rose from the grave, that ushered in the birthplace of the church that would ensue some 40 days later as the Holy Spirit would land upon God's people as they were assembled in the upper room. No longer did the people of God had to approach the temple and approach the priest to be an advocate for them. The Bible says that when Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, the veil that separated the outer court of the temple from the Holy of Holies was torn in two, simply because Jesus Christ paid the sacrifice so that God could have a personal relationship with His people. We know that. David prayed for God's anointing. He waited patiently for the Lord. How often can we say that we wait patiently for the Lord? Now, Mel's a pretty impatient person. And I would venture to say that if I looked around the room, and I won't point to anyone specifically, but there's probably some people in this room that are not very patient. They like for things to be done in a certain way and a certain order, and they like perfection. I like perfection as well. I used to work with my staff, and I called Thursday our busy day. That's when the bulletin would be made, the newsletter would be done, all the music would be put in the folders, everything would be put in order, everything was done to perfection. I checked and double-checked everything because we wanted Sunday to be a day that would lead God's people to the height of worship. We wanted it to be a highlight of their week, not only a highlight of last week, but also the very beginning of a week to come. And we wanted to do our very best. But you know what we did? We did the same thing that I was able to do just a few moments ago with some of your church's leadership. We would assemble before the Sunday morning service, and we would take that bulletin, and we would pray fervently for the folks that would be in attendance. And we would say, Holy Spirit, here is our best. It's the very best that we have to offer. But Father, it's yours. If you want to take it and use it, fine. If you want to change it, that's fine too. We prayed for God's anointing. One Sunday, I was so moved by that time of prayer that we would have before the service. I wanted folks to realize that the invitation was there for everyone and that it didn't have to take place at the end of the service.
And so I told the staff, I said, folks, we're gonna just do things a little different. I haven't had time to go over it with you, but I'm just going to say that I want to highlight the fact that we're just going to open the altars for invitation even as we begin the service, so that people know that they're always open. Just to highlight and illustrate, it was to go along with that day's message. And so we went out there, and I took the pulpit, and I welcomed folks, and I did typically what I do at the conclusion of a service. I just wanted to highlight the fact that God's altars, the altars in God's house, are always open. And so I said, they're open right now. You may have a need that you need to address. You may need to come and get in the altar before the Lord, even before the service begins. And so I opened with prayer. And much to my surprise, a lady came rushing down the aisle and fell in the altar, even before we began. Well, see, Mel didn't quite think that thing completely through, because we hadn't really coordinated for that. And I looked at Brother Philip, the minister of music, and he looked at me like, okay, what do we do now? But you know what? The Lord was in control. And she was praying for God's anointing. She was praying for something that was taking place in her life and her family. She had a desperate need. I can almost hear, as David would pen this psalm, the stress in his life as he prayed for God's anointing. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. You see, David was crying out to God. There may be someone here or even at home that's crying out to God right now. Maybe there is no human solution for the issue that's keeping you up late at night. Maybe you can't see the final outcome of something that has taken place within your family or your job or your financial situation. But I'm here to tell you that if you, like David, will incline your ear to the Lord, the Bible says that he will hear. Amen. We need to pray for God's anointing. Now, some people would confuse that statement of what I just said as being something of a charismatic movement. I want you to understand that has nothing to do with our brothers and sisters of other denominations. Those folks that feel that there is a second blessing. I am personally convicted the fact that when Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross and when I opened my heart to him, I can't be any more saved today than I was in the first day that I opened my heart and I asked Jesus to be my Savior. I don't think that there's any more of God than I can have today as an ordained deacon, an ordained pastor, preacher, a state missionary, an associational missionary. I don't think there's any more of God that I can have today than the day that I gave my heart and my life to Jesus at 11 years old in a makeshift setting during a revival when a fellow by the name of Gary Googe preached a revival message in an old run-down gas station for a church plant. There probably wasn't more than 30 or 40 people in attendance. And I can't tell you to this day what the man's text was. I can't tell you the 3 points or the poem that he probably said, but I can tell you this: the Holy Spirit of God convicted my heart in such a way that I knew that I did not have a relationship with God, and that I dare not walk away from that moment without opening my heart to him. And so that's what I did. David says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined his ear to me. I'm so thankful that God inclined his ear to Mel. That's not the only thing that we see from this text. We look at the passage of Scripture and we see that we can also pray for spiritual boldness. Spiritual boldness. Note what verse 3 says there. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. David said, he's put a new song in my mouth. He's put a new message in my mouth. And David was willing to share that even in the midst of crisis. Folks, if there was ever a time in the history of this country that God's people needed to be vocal, that needed to demonstrate an attitude of spiritual dependence upon the things of God, it's today. Because you see, we live in a world that is searching for answers. You listen to all the rhetoric that's around you and you see how people are clamoring for attention. They're clamoring for direction. Everyone thinks that they know what is to be done or know how to fix the ails of our nation. But you know what? They don't. They don't understand. There's so much division. And God's people have the message of hope. We have the answer. And so I would encourage you to pray for spiritual boldness. David says, I have a new song. And I'm going to sing it. He says, I'm going to sing it. I'm going to praise my God. Many will see it and many will fear because of the song. I will put my faith and my trust in the things of the Lord. That's what verse 3 says. David was spiritually bold, wasn't he? I have to say that Mel hasn't always been as bold as I needed to be. But my prayer is that my focus will be on Christ and not on those people who might be concerned about what I have to say or might not even like what I have to say. My focus will be on Jesus Christ and the message that He has in store for them. So we pray for spiritual boldness. Number 3, we pray for God's presence in our lives, in our life, in our home, in our work. Note what verse 4 says, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Now, there's a lot in that verse. In fact, we could preach a whole message just on those two verses of the 40th Psalm. You know, God has blessed us. He's given us the experience of life. And as I have even listened to some of my Christian brothers and sisters bemoan what is taking place all around them and the age that we live in, and I've actually heard some people reflect upon the good old days and how they wish that they could go back and all of those things. And growing up, I always heard that, you know, with some of the modern conveniences of life growing up. I heard about the good old days, but I haven't met anybody yet that wanted to go back to the pre-air conditioned, pre-grocery store, pre-automobile. They don't want to go back to that, okay? They want to live in the here and now. Folks, I'm here to tell you that in God's sovereignty, He chose in His sovereignty, in His infinite wisdom, that you exist in this moment, in the right here and right now, for such a time as this. You're here for a reason. You're not here by happenstance. You're not here by mistake. So don't bemoan the fact that we are living in this generation, because you see, God knew that you would be here, and He's counting on you to make a difference in someone's life, because He knows that you can get the job done. You say, where is God in all of this? Well, God's still on His throne. He hasn't budged. He hasn't moved. Our effort is to be that of David and to keep our focus on that of the Savior so that we are not distracted by all of the struggle that's taking place around us. So we need to pray for God's presence in our lives, in our home, and in the workplace. And I can almost listen to someone as they pray to understand where they are in life. You know, when I sit down and I spend my quiet time, and as I did this morning, and I'm reading through the Bible chronologically every morning when I get up, and it's just my quiet time. It's my personal way of spending time with the Lord. I'm reading in Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and those are tough books to read, I'll be honest with you. And I'm scratching my head and I'm saying, okay, what can I walk away from with this today? And sometimes it's difficult to understand what God is saying. I'll be honest with you, as much as I've studied the Word, I have to wonder, and maybe one of these days I'll have the answers. But God was with Jeremiah, God was with Ezekiel, and when Ezekiel's wife passed away, and God told him not to even mourn, because
He was the proclaimer of God's hand of judgment on a nation that had turned their backs on him. They had forgotten the things of God. They had done away with the things of God. So many times, folks, it's reflected in our personal prayers how sometimes we reflect and we miss the goodness of God. We go to the Lord with a long wish list of things. Lord, bless this one, bless that one, be this and be that. And oh, and by the way, I call them BB prayers, okay? Lord, be with this, bless. And sometimes we fail to recount the blessings, the rich blessings that He has honored us with. Folks, if I were to begin recounting all of the blessings, many of which even include you, if I were to begin to recount all of those blessings, I probably couldn't finish my prayer. They're just too numerous. Now, we can look around and we can see the bad things that's going on in life, and we can very easily enumerate all of those. We can say, Lord, we got this situation, we got that situation. But when you look around and you see how God's blessed you with family and friends and church and the existence that we have in this nation and the fact that our needs are met and all of those things, and not to mention grace and the fact that we live life in Jesus' name and His strength, and we can go back and we can understand how God's been with us through so many things. How can we begin to enumerate all of those blessings? David understood that. He said, many, O Lord, are your wonderful works. He said, God, you've always been with me, and you'll continue to be with me. Folks, rather than looking pessimistically at the things of the world, we need to look optimistically to see how He is honoring us. I've listened to people say that, well, we're living in the end times, the last day Jesus is going to return. Oh, my goodness, it's got to be closer than that. Well, great. Okay, good. What does that have to do with me? I mean, obviously, I need to be more about the business of my Savior now than ever before. So why should I worry about my Savior's triumphant return? If He returns within my lifetime, praise the Lord. If He chooses to take me home, praise the Lord. If he chooses to delay His second coming because there's something for me to do as an individual, as a man of God, then praise the Lord. I'm not to worry about that. Folks, there are a lot of people trying to clamor for our attention, especially on the internet and on television. These are the last times. Oh, it's gloom, it's doom, it's all kinds of things. I don't want to pay attention to any of that. Because the Bible says that no man knows when Jesus Christ will return. Jesus doesn't even know when He will return. He will return when the Father looks at Him and says, Son, go get my people. That's when He will come. We don't know that. So why should I worry about it? I need to be about the business of my Savior. I need to be here at Liberty Baptist Church preaching today and sharing with you the goodness of Almighty God so that you too can walk away blessed as I am, knowing that God is in control of our lives. The fourth thing that we can see is that we need to pray for spiritual discernment. Verse 6, and I've got to hurry. Verse 6, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is written within my heart. The only way that you can have spiritual discernment is to take the word of God into your life. David said, your law is written, it's etched in stone, it's engraved in my heart. He was noted as a man after God's own heart. We need to be of that same mindset and that same character. We need to pray for spiritual discernment. We need to pray that as we look through the chaos of life and as we see all of the things that are happening all around us, that God is in control and that we do not waver from the path that He has set before us. And we do it, why? In order that we might present our bodies a living sacrifice. The New Testament reality of this Old Testament song of heart cry before God was penned by Brother Paul, and I can almost hear his words
when he spoke to a church that he had never met. And he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. There's a sense that we need to prove who we are, not just to ourselves, but also to those who are around us and to the world and before the Lord, that yes, Lord, I will be your servant. I will love you. I will follow you. So we need to pray for spiritual discernment. And then number five, we need to pray for spiritual endurance. Note what verse 9 says, and I won't read all of these, but he says, I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips, O Lord. You yourself know. He goes on to continue that thought all the way down through verse 13. David was committed to proclaiming God's love and the truth that God had in store for his life. David wanted to stay the course until the end. I see a lot of folks that are wanting to give up. In my understanding of what is taking place, I feel like that there will probably be a decline in church attendance, even if this was all over with. Even in the near future, let's just say that they came out with a vaccine. More than likely, and I'm probably not the only one, some of our Christian leaders are admitting the same thing, because you see, there are folks that are attending casually and have attended casually for a long time. Maybe it's a cultural thing. Maybe it's something that their family had always done. Maybe they're doing it out of habit. Did you know that it takes about 7 weeks to create a new habit in your life? If you can go through a cycle of repetition for a period of time, and the average is about 7 weeks, that will be a lifelong habit for you. But if you get out of that habit, then guess what? It's easier and easier and easier to do away with and to walk away and to change your priorities in life. My fear is that it's going to be easier for people to walk away from the church. And you know what? That's sad, because they've taken their mind off the things of God. It's the only hope that they have in this life, and they've put their trust in their efforts and the things that they can do to try to fix the problems and the ails of life. We need to pray for spiritual endurance. And then number six, we need to pray for spiritual faith. Verses 14 and 15 says, let them be ashamed that brought me to mutual confusion, who seek to destroy my life. Let them be driven backward and brought to dishonor, who wish me evil. Let them be confounded because of their shame, who say to me, aha. There's so many people that are trying to take pot shots at Christians in the local church. But folks, David would not be swayed. His faith was strong. Our faith must be strong through this time of uncertainty. Let me remind you that we sing about faith. We pray about faith. We teach about faith in Sunday school. But you know what? It's often much harder to practice faith than it is to talk about it. It's difficult when we're faced with having to put one foot in front of the other when we can't see the next step. But you know what? Faith isn't faith if you know the next step. Have you put your faith and your trust in the things of God? In David's darkest hour, he proclaimed his faith before Almighty God. And that's what we need to do. Regardless, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And then there's one last thing that I want to bring to your attention from the 40th Psalm. It's probably one of the more important elements that apply to our lives today as I conclude the message. And that is, we need to pray for an evangelistic heart. The Bible says in verse 16, let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. This is to the public. This is to all those who are around him. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, oh my God. God is our source of strength. He is our deliverer. He is our deliverer in a very present time of struggle and danger. We need to pray for an evangelistic heart so that during this time of uncertainty, other people will see something different about us. I remember standing in the grocery store line. I was pastor of First Baptist Geraldine, and I had worked hard. It was a Saturday. I had my shorts on and my tennis shoes and my t-shirt, and I was wringing wet. I had a ball cap on, and we were having some folks over that evening to do some grilling out, and I realized that I didn't have any charcoal. I thought I had some charcoal, okay? I had everything else, but I didn't have the charcoal. So I had to run down real quick to the grocery store, the Piggly Wiggly that was local right there. And you got to understand that on Saturday in Geraldine, Alabama, if nobody's in the store at 4:45, they go ahead and close up, okay? And then you got to go 20, 30 miles to Fort Payne, or you got to go to Albertville, or you got to go to Boaz, another 15, 18 miles that way. I mean, that was the only store that we had. It's a little grocery store. And so I was running through there, and I got my bag of charcoal, and I was standing there in line, and I was wringing wet. I had grass. I had weed-eated. I'd spent about 3 hours out trying to get ready for our company that evening. And so I was trying to get my bag of charcoal so I could get back and take a quick shower and get ready for our guests to come over that evening. And I remember standing there, and all of a sudden, this lady just turned around right in front of me, and she said, "Are you a preacher?" And I'm thinking, what is it? Is it tattooed on my forehead? What's the deal? I mean, I look like anything but a preacher at that point. I smelled like anything but a preacher at that point, okay? And she had a need in her heart, and God just brought us together, and we were able to chat. We went ahead and checked out, and I spoke with her as we moved on through so that other people could go through the line, and I had an opportunity to pray with her. And all of a sudden, the world just kind of stood still because, you see, she became the priority. You need to have an evangelistic heart. If you have an evangelistic heart like David had, then guess what? People will see something different in you. They won't see you. They'll see the Savior who lives and breathes within your heart. They will see the love of God as He erupts from you. And all because you have a willingness to pray and to seek after the things of God. So if I could sum it all up into what one of my seminary professors would share with me, pastors, preachers, you need to make sure that you give them the big idea. The big idea. You can talk about all kinds of things and what scholars do and what the Bible says and the meaning of definition, but leave them with the big idea. And if I have a big idea that I want to leave with you, that is the importance of prayer in your life. Make sure that you pray. As I close the message, I would remind us of what Howard Taylor said of his father, Hudson Taylor. He said, and I'm quoting, "For 40 years, the sun never rose on China that God didn't find my father, Hudson Taylor, on his knees before the Lord." John Bunyan said these words. He said, "You can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you can't do more than pray until you have prayed." Prayed. Church, we need to make sure that above all, whatever we do, whatever priority we establish, however we set up our services and orchestrate the services and the worship order, the most important element of everything that we do, not only corporately but also individually, is to pray and to speak in conversation with God. My heart realizes that today, maybe there's someone here that needs to spend some time in prayer. Maybe you're dealing with an issue that you're struggling with, and you just don't have the answers. Maybe it's a family member or a friend. Maybe it's a personal issue, and you just don't have the answers. Well, I'm here to tell you that if you came here to listen to Mel today, I don't have the answers. But I know one who does. My Savior has the answers. And he has a longing to be with you, as close to you as you will allow him to be. He hasn't left his faithfulness. He hasn't abandoned us. He hasn't abandoned the church. He hasn't abandoned his creation. He's right there on the throne. We just simply need to turn our hearts toward him. If you're here today and you need to make a decision for Christ, I've got my mask. And folks, I know that for some this is important. For me, it's important. My wife is a 2-time cancer survivor. She's had chemotherapy, open heart surgery. If she catches COVID-19, she won't be with me any longer. I know that. If she gets the sniffles, she's down for a month. I'm caring for my dad, who's struggling with terminal cancer right now. He's at my sister's house in Montgomery, and we're working with him and trying to get his chemo and his immunotherapy and his radiation. And we know our time is limited. And so we're spending as much time with him as we possibly can. But if he gets it, he's gone. I know that. I've got my mask. And you know what? If you need to come and if you need to pray, if you need to ask questions, I'll be around at the conclusion of the service. And though I don't have the answers, I know one who does. We can search it together. If you're here today and you're seeking a church family, I know that Liberty Baptist Church would be blessed by you. And I know that you would be blessed by the family of Liberty Baptist Church. And so if you're seeking a church family and you need to join, let me remind you that church membership doesn't save you. It doesn't. But it does send a strong message to the community that you have aligned yourself with God's people, a group of folks that love Jesus. If you're here today and you can't say, well, Brother Mel, I can't say for certain that I have a personal relationship with God. I've been in church. I know the Bible stuff. Maybe I grew up that way, but I realize that if I died today, my eternity is really uncertain because I just haven't made that personal commitment. Folks, I'm here to tell you that today, like David, you can turn your heart to the Lord and he will be as faithful to you as he was to David. All you have to do is open your heart and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know that. I've made mistakes. I'm not perfect. But I know that Jesus Christ was perfect and that he died on Calvary's cross for me. And so, Lord, I'm going to ask that you be the boss of my life. And so I'm going to open up my heart to you. Help me to learn more about you and your promise. If you mean that from your heart, something that simplistic, that's all it takes to usher in the presence of the Holy Spirit and the same blessing that David experienced in the 40th Psalm. The same blessing that Mel Johnson stands to attest to before you today. That can be yours. Whatever the case, and in every case, this invitation is for each one of us. There are a number of folks in this sanctuary today. Many of you have different needs. This invitation is for you. You can choose to accept God's blessing and his encouragement and his promise in your life, or you can choose to reject it. The choice is yours. As a Christian, I want to accept God's blessing. Would you join me? I'm going to ask that we come and we prepare a song of invitation. I will be down front with my mask. If you want to talk to me after the service as well, I would encourage you to do that. I'll be right here. But let's stand together. Let me lead us in a word of concluding prayer as we begin our time of invitation. Dear Father, I thank you for the encouragement that you've offered to us through our brother David. I thank you for a man that was so committed to you that the Bible references him as a man after God's own heart. Dear Lord, I know that I stand among people today that have a desire to worship and to walk with you. And so, Father, we just want to commit our lives together today to say that we want to be the church, the bride of Christ. We want to be the people that you want us to be. And so, Father, in each and every individual way, God, we just simply open our hearts and we call to you. We recount the blessings that you have honored us with, and we also acknowledge our need. Father, during this time of invitation, I pray that Jesus Christ will be glorified. It's in His name that we sing together. And all of God's children said,
blessing us today. We all received a blessing for being here, which is as it should be. Have a wonderful afternoon. Let's close all together one more time. And I don't care how good you think you may sound. We want to hear you up here. So sing it. This is my story and
this is my story.